You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, hey there. Welcome back to E-Commerce Fastlane. My name is Steve Hutt, and thanks so much for tuning in today. You know, so many podcast choices out there, and there's literally hundreds of them really in the kind of direct-to-consumer kind of e-commerce space. I massively appreciate the fact that you're taking time and listening to today's episode. You're going to gain a lot of knowledge around how you can grow and scale your Shopify business. Now, our episodes are now available on all of the podcast apps now, including Apple. We're on Spotify, Google. We're on YouTube, and we're actually even streaming live now on Amazon Music. So that's quite interesting. It's got a little ping on that right lately. So if you consume your content over at Amazon, you might want to check that out. Now, for a deeper dive into all the topics with some additional resources I'm going to add there, you can go back to our website over at ecommercefastlane.com, and it'll have some extended insights. I'm going to have a few links, some resources, and there's even a special bonus. So if you listen to the end, we have a special bonus for our dedicated listeners. Now, today's episode, I have an absolute privilege. I know we've punted this show around a few times. There's been some challenges of getting recordings and time and all these other things. I'm so glad to have Charles on today. It's Charles Nichols. He's the co-founder and CEO of a company called Simplicity DX. And the DX stands for digital experience. And they have been making significant strides in the Shopify ecosystem. They have an incredible app. They have an incredible platform. For me, I believe that they're there to reduce customer acquisition costs. And they're saying even to up to 50% less. And we're going to go into some interesting conversations around first order break even. And there's lots of fun topics today. So hello, Charles, and welcome to E-commerce Fastlane.
Hey, well, thanks for having me, Steve.
My pleasure. So let's talk on a high level first. Simplicity DX, I've done a little bit of research. I've looked at the app. I've gone to your website, read a few podcast or a few blog posts. And you know, so I kind of have a reasonable knowledge of kind of what you do and the problem you're solving. But I'd like to hear it in your own words, since you're part of the founding team, about what sort of problems are you solving today for Shopify brands?
I mean, really, many brands are facing a customer acquisition cost crisis. It's a perfect storm of things that have all kind of happened together. You know, we used to be able to target ads much more specifically. And then, of course, Apple's Ask Not to Track came along, and we have creeping privacy regulation across the planet, which is making life much more difficult to target people specifically. And as a result, audiences are broader. And when they're broader, what then happens through is when they click through and they arrive on your Shopify site, if you're sending them through to a product detail page or a category page, you're typically not getting great results. And what happens is that a lot of people bounce off. We've seen very high bounce rates. And we really fix that problem by joining together the social ad effectively all the way through to building a much better experience so that customers don't bounce off. And ultimately, that drives revenue and reduces customer acquisition costs by 50% or more.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that. You know, what I find interesting, though, around a business that's kind of solving these sorts of problems is the origin story. Because I think it might set the stage a bit about, like, why are you building what you build? And let's talk about the desire and the expertise of the founding team and why you're building the Simplicity DX and kind of, like, I understand the problems it's solving, but why have you chosen to solve this problem with this platform, and where did all this expertise come from?
Well, I've been studying the way that people buy online for more than 20 years. And incredibly, in fact, you know, if you think about the sales funnel, the conversion funnel that exists, for example, in Shopify, it's been like that for 15 years, hasn't changed. We've actually been doing e-commerce for 30 years, incredibly. And that funnel is exactly the way it has always been. And what's happened, of course, is that the way people are buying is changing. So, you know, I refer to that as shopping has shifted to the edge. You know, the journey doesn't start on the homepage and then go down to the category page, and you explore the category page and find a category you're interested in. And then you find a product, and then you're on the product detail page. And, you know, at that point, all distractions are taken away and you can just add to cart and away you go. You know, it's designed really for people coming down that funnel. Now, today, 3/4 of online shoppers think that social media is a great place to discover new products. 2/3 use social for shopping every week, you know, spending 2.5 hours a day there on average. And as marketers, you obviously got to be where the customer is. If you then go to Gen Z, it's 93% of Gen Z. So, you know, this is just enormous. Nearly half of Gen Z start every product search on social. So there's a fundamental shift in the way that people are buying. So most of the team at Simplicity DX have worked together before in the sort of e-commerce, merchandising, analytics, content, AI, ML kind of space. And this is a very logical thing for us to do. This is a problem actually we've wanted to tackle for a long time, because it just saw this gap really between where the journey starts and commerce just getting wider and wider and wider.
So you mentioned you've been studying this for like more than a decade, and so I want to talk a little bit about this whole social commerce in general, because this is what's I find a lot of brands that I manage, that's where the bulk of their, you know, their top of funnel customers are coming from. This is where this awareness and consideration comes from, is usually from social commerce. So what's changed over the years? Because it seems like everyone's talking about TikTok now, but like, I want to understand like the journey of kind of what's been happening and what's your lens look like from a social commerce perspective?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, this is now the third go around for social commerce. If you look, for example, at Facebook, first in 2011, then in 2014, and then in 2019, you know, there was some kind of a launch and then pull back and all the rest of it. So there's no doubt that social platforms want to try and kind of get into the transaction if they can. But every time this has struggled a little bit, right? One of the reasons, fundamental reasons for that is that actually in our research, 75% of US online shoppers prefer to buy on the brand site. They don't want to buy on the edge. They don't want to buy on social itself. Mm. And the reason is things like product availability, inventories are not synchronized, returns are problematic when it's done through a social platform. You know, so effectively the messy bit of e-commerce isn't the cart, right? It's all the stuff below that, you know, fulfillment, shipping, customer service, returns, all those sorts of things that mean it's very, very difficult to do it well. And of course, brands typically want a first-party customer relationship. And of course, if you sell through a third party, then you don't have the ability to contact the customer. And of course, profitability comes from the second sale, the third sale, the fourth sale, typically. So, you know, it's kind of really important for the brands also to build that direct relationship rather than having a disconnected customer relationship. So there's the reasons why consumers prefer, you know, to do it on the brand site. And there's reasons why brands want to do it on the brand site too. And you put that together, and it's kind of really obvious that social is a great place to discover products in context, to get entertained, you know, to find out about new brands. But ultimately, for all those reasons and more, trust being another big one, you know, customers typically want to buy directly from the brand and have that brand experience.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be devil's advocate here, but so why are the social networks so determined to get into e-commerce? Because it seems like, you know, every month Shopify kind of announces something where they've forged this partnership directly with being able to buy from within that network directly. You're suggesting that most people prefer to buy on the brand site for the availability and all the, you know, the reasons you mentioned. But are these millennial and Gen Z buyers, are they privy now to the fact that they feel confident that a bulk of the stores that they're buying from, if they're buying direct or Shopify powered, and Shopify's forged these connections, I guess, with these social networks to be able to buy from within social? I just want to get your feedback on that and kind of what, how you feel that, why the social networks want to get involved in e-commerce, and why is there a disparity between buying on the brand side, and is there still business to be had on the social side with these partnerships?
So yeah, great question. I think the reality is it's all about data. As cookies are going away, as increasing privacy regulations is hitting and impacting the ability to target, then what the social networks want in particular are the signals, the buying signals. What did this person buy? You know, what's Steve interested in? Because before this, they could track you across all these different sites and understand exactly what you wanted. Now, there is still an opportunity, and I sort of break this down into the buy now traffic versus the learn more traffic. And there are undoubtedly, if they're at the bottom of the funnel, they're familiar with the brand, or it's an impulse purchase, you're going to get maybe the 1% who kind of ready to click buy now. Mm. The learn more traffic is classic customer acquisition, top of funnel. That's the 99% who are not yet ready to buy. They need something different. They need much more nurturing, exploration, explore the brand, get comfortable, find out more about the brand story. And obviously, if you can make a difference on the 99%, then you can move the needle, the revenue needle, big time, right? Mm, you know, small changes on a big number end up being very significant.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Are there any reasons why people are hesitant to maybe shop on social? Because it seems that the narrative is that's not the case. It seems that everybody's pushing the fact, Shopify included, is kind of pushing, hey, we have these connections. Yes, you should be on your own direct-to-consumer site and that should be your home and forget this rented land and all this kind of these concepts. But at the end of the day, you still see people pushing and talking about the fact that maybe they should be selling on social because it's working so well. But you're suggesting that maybe there's reasons why customers are hesitant to want to shop on social.
Yeah, it's definitely, trust is a, you know, the elephant in the room. It's a really, really big issue, right? Mm-hmm. Because you've only got to, look up any brand, let's say on Instagram, and you'll see three or four or five or maybe more names which sound very, very similar, right? Mm. So authenticity is really the key to social, and there are way too many scams, and product authenticity and quality are big, big issues. It's something that TikTok in particular has got to watch out for. Because, you know, they're going after Amazon merchants who, you know, Chinese merchants that are selling on Amazon, and not all of those are fantastic quality. So quality and authenticity are really, really super important. And then, you know, returns, product availability, and some of those other things that we talked about earlier on are also factors. But really, trust is the number one.
I'm going to add a couple things else that I'm thinking about too, about just like using these networks to check out these stores, you know, if it's a TikTok shop or whatever it is. I think it's interesting is because sometimes you're doing this one-off, and I'd argue, and I think that's kind of where Simplicity DX fits into this equation, is that, you know, the CAC is never there. It's difficult to be profitable on the first sale. And I think number one, because everyone's taking a slice of the pie, and overall, you know, the cost of, you know, showing these ads and the final click through and the final conversion, the end of the day, it's not like these networks are the ones that are winning the most. And I think there's other connectivity issues, regardless of how great Shopify believes that maybe some of these partnerships with these networks are working and hopefully filtering back to the mothership, back to your main store. I think there's going to be some inventory synchronization issues with a 3PL. I just want your feedback about what problems are you seeing like around these social checkouts?
Well, I mean, we actually went and shopped all of the launch partners for Instagram social checkout.
Oh, nice.
Just for fun. We went shopping and basically bought from all of them and then returned products to then see what the experience was like end to end.
Okay.
And I mean, first off, quite a few of those launch partners, some big brands had stopped using social checkout despite significant incentives from Instagram and the like. But that mystery shopping is fascinating because whilst only, you know, 15 out of 26 are still using Instagram checkout, the issues were really about maintaining two stores. You know, what happens, for example, we've just done Black Friday, Cyber Monday. You know, are you going to replicate all of your promotions up there? Well, no. Typically not. Is all of the assortment up there? Typically not. Well, how frequently is inventory synchronized? Probably 24 hours. So over that promotional period, the customer very quickly sees that actually they get a better price for products more likely to be in stock and all of the products that the brand supplies on the brand site. So it's almost like a, you know, it's a tease, and then people go, oh, well, actually, I'll buy on the brand site. That makes much more sense.
Mm. So let's talk about how we measure revenues and stuff like that, because I think that's the other kind of elephant in the room too, is that I believe it's probably hard to measure the revenues from social media. Like, I mean, I think you brought up one point about the privacy policies, especially in GDPR, you being in the UK. It's just like, it's interesting, an Apple kind of, you know, the cookie apocalypse from Google and all the things that are happening. So like from your perspective, I'm leaning your way now, and I understand these larger, bigger brands are choosing to not do social checkout because they want to kind of own the journey and they want to own the third, fourth, and fifth sale, this lifetime value. But from your perspective, like why is it kind of hard to measure social revenue?
We, in fact, did a survey not very long ago of merchants and digital agencies, and concluded that only 3% of merchants, digital agencies, could actually measure all of their social revenue. So it's not just hard, it's really damn hard.
All right.
And the reason why, whether there are technology reasons and then there are buyer behavior reasons that go hand in hand. The technology reason really is that it's getting harder and harder and harder to track people, right? And if you look at what's happened, for example, with Google Analytics, they've gone to GA4, which have gone from a deterministic model where you're actually trying to measure and track people based upon the links that they right. click through to something which is much more probabilistic, i.e. they build a model and then they estimate it. And the problem is that as all of these privacy regs kick in, then we can't track people anymore. And in particular, when you think about the learn more customers, the ones who may be, you know, not the impulse buyers, you don't want impulse buyers, frankly, because we did a survey of impulse buyers and found that 55% subsequently regretted a purchase. This is not a great way to start a brand
relationship,
is it? No, not at all, right?
Yeah.
So fundamentally, you know, the other buyers, the ones who are going to be long-term repeat buyers over time, they're going to take some more nurturing. And we probably can't track them because of things like the in-app browser. In the in-app browsers in social, actually strip off your tracking. People then switch browser when they come onto the brand site. So they're using a different browser. Tracking breaks again. Then they might share on social or send it to themselves because they want to be able to find it again. Oh, and that breaks tracking again. So all of these things basically break tracking. Right. And in fact, what we found is that there is a massive disconnect between what you can measure. You know, typically, if you look at a Google Analytics, you might find that, you know, it's saying to you that, in fact, yes, 6-10% of our revenue is coming from social. Fantastic. That sounds great, right? But actually, if you do a post-purchase survey, you might see more than 50% coming from social. And that's one of the reasons why we believe and we've implemented an approach of exit attribution, which is where rather than trying to track people, we ask customers, we get the customer at the point of checkout or on the thank you page to attribute it themselves.
Right.
And it's a completely different way of measuring it.
And I think that, and I've heard of that strategy before too, because I think there's trying to attribute where this sale actually came from. And because there's such this whole multi-touch point, they saw this, then it was word of mouth, then there was a YouTube ad and there's something else. And all of a sudden, then they went directly to the website. Well, how did they, like, is it the last click attribution? And how do you figure that all out? But asking the actual question in the mind of the customer and saying, how did you hear about us? Like even one simple question at the end of the sale, their highest point, they're happy, they're excited for their product. They're going to answer that question, especially if you have a few dropdowns of like probability of where you likely came from, a Facebook ad, a TikTok ad, a YouTube, a word of mouth, these sort of things, a friend referral, whatever it might be, right? I think it's a really good strategy to have that available.
And Shopify have just made that much easier. They've built checkout extensions or thank you page extensions, which allow you to very easily then do that. In Shopify Plus, it's literally flick a switch in the case at the moment. And then on Shopify, it's you literally just need to put a script in and away you go.
Yeah. So I want to talk about ROAS because it's another interesting topic. And I think I read somewhere that you believe that ROAS is a metric, which a lot of brands are currently using just to talk about their social campaign performance, overall their paid social, how well is it working? And that's kind of how marketers are quote unquote graded by their CEO, so to speak. But from what I understand, you believe that it's flawed. And I'd like to hear your feedback around ROAS.
Well, ROAS is the most frequently used metric by brands to assess, you know, their advertising performance. It's a metric that very much has been driven by the networks as a way of measuring it. But it is problematic, right? Because in particular, if we're thinking, let's say, about social, we're going to go and use social for customer acquisition, you can drive a much higher ROAS. And if you optimize around ROAS, then you may not necessarily be acquiring new customers.
Mm.
And the reason for that is if the algorithm is focused on just the return, you know, maximum amount of revenue for the ad spend that I've got, then where's it going to go? The algorithm naturally will seek the ones more likely to buy, and existing customers are more likely to buy than new ones. And therefore, if you're not careful, you end up basically advertising to existing customers rather than doing new customer acquisition. And obviously, if you've already got an existing customer relationship, you've probably got email messaging or email and messaging that you can then get sent to them, in which case it's a fraction of the price and way more effective. So you got email in particular is a fantastic channel, you know, for existing customers. And advertising is very much focused on new customer acquisition. And obviously there's some gray area reactivating lapsed customers and things like that as well, which you might do advertising with in addition. But in effect, if you think about it in that way, then that's kind of important. You need to think about ROAS carefully and probably use CAC or customer acquisition cost alongside it to balance it so that you don't just chase the revenue, because ultimately what every brand needs is they need new customers. Everybody has attrition, right? Attrition in some sectors is like 40% a year. So you've got to recruit 40% more customers every year just to stand still, let alone grow. So keeping that focus on new customer acquisition is super important.
I want to talk about the DX in your name, because I kind of brought it up at the beginning of the episode, but you know, your brand is called Simplicity DX for a reason. And you know, this digital experience, can we talk about like why digital experiences and branding and how you measure the impact of sales when it comes to digital experience?
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to the problem, which is traffic coming from the edge, right? So coming from a social ad, when it comes through onto typically, let's say, the category page or a product detail page, you see somewhere 60, 70, 80, we've even seen 90% bounce rates. Now, that's paid traffic, and 90% of it is bouncing off at the point of landing. This is a massive problem, right? So if you go back, step out a little bit and say, well, what are the different levers that we could pull, right? We could do targeting, we can think about content, we can think about landing, and we can think about conversion. And unfortunately, the targeting, as we said earlier on, is increasingly restricted. We can't target like we used to be able to. And conversion, we spend, you know, the last 30 years optimizing conversion, and there's relatively little lift that we can get there. So in terms of making this process work end-to-end more effectively, then the biggest levers that we can pull are around creative, and in particular with influencers and creators, building creative themselves. Right. And then really that landing experience, which is, can we make that experience much more relevant, much more engaging, so people don't bounce? And the bounce rate is a really important metric, because so many of these metrics in social are a bit squishy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. A bounce rate is absolutely rock solid. You totally know, right? Are they engaged or are they not? And therefore, you know, if we think about that, then what we need to do is we just need to cut that bounce rate. So if you cut a 60% bounce rate, so maybe to a more normal 40%, then you're putting a third more traffic into your conversion funnel. If you, at the same time, if you can increase conversion, let's say from 0.5% to 1%, then actually you put those together and you've increased revenue by 160%. So by playing with this part of the process, there is enormous opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, this is lovely. This is going to hit home for the brands I manage, plus the thousands of people that are listening to this episode right now. So I think it's fresh thinking about what you need to do today to actually start growing and scaling a business. I think a lot of the past kind of quote unquote tried and true strategy is unfortunately just not the way to run a business anymore. I think you clearly articulated kind of the benefits of, well, maybe these social networks are not necessarily the best place to be. And if that is the case, and these different kind of shops and stuff, maybe the opportunity is truly understanding the customer journey. They're on the edge, but they got to get back to the store. How do we, and that's what kind of I get into my next thing. I really want to hear a story around Simplicity DX, because I went over to your resources page and I see quite a few case studies that are listed here. Hopefully you can share one or two. At least I'd just like to understand the journey. Like, is there a brand that you can think of that faced a certain challenge? It could be a CAC, a ROAS problem, which probably most people listening have the same kind of challenge, but then they found Simplicity DX. And, you know, was it instrumental in any of their continued growth or incremental growth or improving efficiencies? I just like to understand kind of what happened before Simplicity DX and then maybe what happened after implementing your solution.
Sure. ModCloth would be a great example of that.
Okay.
Sort of vintage inspired fashion, regular new arrivals coming in every couple of weeks, so relatively fast fashion.
Right? Yeah.
And before, you typically, let's say, take one of those new arrivals campaigns. So every 2 weeks, you're going to promote the latest stuff coming in, and you're promoting a category and probably featuring three or four products out of the category in a short video going out on, let's say, Instagram. And what happens is then, where do you take that traffic? If you land them on the category page, the new arrivals category, then there may be hundreds of products there, in which case you get lost, right? You're looking for the green dress that was featured in the video, and now you're scrolling on your phone with your finger up and up. Yeah. Where is it? You know, and you could be going many pages down to then try and find the product. And of course, the product might look different as well. All right. So that's kind of the challenge. And what Simplicity does, it makes it super fast and easy and quick to do this. We use a lot of automation and AI to do this, is, you know, for a given ad, you select the ad, and then basically it will go and build a complete campaign microsite around that campaign. So when you send the traffic, instead of it going in, you can't find what you want to be able to buy the green dress, you can. You want to be able to shop the catalog, the rest of the category, you can. You want to go explore the brand or see brand videos, you can. There are no dead ends like you get landing on a product detail page. Mm. And what ModCloth saw, and ModCloth gets like 52% of its sales from social, so it's a very social brand,
right,
is that using this approach with Simplicity DX, they cut their customer acquisition costs in half and reduce their bounce rate to only 33%. Now, by cutting the customer acquisition cost in half, they went from $35 down to 17.6. And that is super critical because at that point, they are now in the first order payback or first order break-even point where the margin from that first sale is the same as the customer acquisition cost. So instead of brands normally on average lose $29 for every new customer that's acquired, right? And therefore, you've got to sell order 2, 3, and 4 in order to be profitable.
Yeah.
But if you can get your customer acquisition costs down to the same margin that you make on that first sale, then this is a game changer, really. It just changes the rules and the economics of e-commerce.
And I know we kind of chit-chatted kind of before recording. I understand there's going to be a practical e-commerce blog post coming out soon. And I think some of the concepts that you want to share to the market is this whole idea of first order break even. Do you want to kind of, I guess, share some of the insights that you've found and why you've written this article and what kind of impact you believe it's going to have in the market?
Oh, sure. I've been writing for practical e-commerce for many years. Somewhat sporadically sometimes about all sorts of different topics. But this one I think is particularly relevant because as we think about 2024 and kind of where brands are headed, they've got through Black Friday, Cyber Monday into 2024, right? This customer acquisition crisis isn't getting any better. It's not getting any easier. Privacy stuff is getting tougher and therefore targeting gets more problematic. So quite a few brands in 23 have gone to the wall because of customer acquisition costs getting out of control. You had cheap and easy debt and way too much venture capital sloshing around and low cost of customer acquisition. So when all of those change, then you end up with this perfect storm and brands under pressure for sure. So maybe my thought would be in 2024, maybe having a look at how you could begin to think about CAC as a strategic metric and maybe think about reducing it, maybe getting somewhere closer to break-even point, if you could do, is a really, really good way to start out the year.
It's funny you mentioned about just the competitiveness of e-commerce and stuff like that. And I know Shopify made a big announcement about their BFCM results. And they were like, I think it was $9.3 billion over that four-day weekend. It was up 24%. No wonder their stock price keeps going up now. It looks like they, with their layoffs and kind of organizing and tightening up their bootstraps a bit and being very strategic on how they're running their business, it's very clear that entrepreneurship is alive and well. I mean, Shopify is definitely the platform of choice. And it's clear that buyers are seeing value in wanting to shop on a Shopify store. And you're right. I think the competitiveness of e-commerce and just the overall continued growth of e-commerce, even though we're kind of post-pandemic, I think Simplicity DX is kind of like positioned in a really good part of the market right now.
It's a great spot. I mean, as I said earlier on, we really wanted to tackle this for some time. And I think there's a whole series of forces pushing in this direction, which basically said, hey, you know, we absolutely need social. That's the best place to acquire customers, but it's getting harder. So right. We need to do something fundamentally different.
I'm going to make sure in the show notes that I put a copy of the Mod. That's a really good idea. I just actually searched for it now. The ModCloth reduces customer acquisition costs by 50% with these kind of AI social storefronts. So I'm going to put that link in the show notes so people can kind of read that.
Thanks.
There's a few others in there. I also I want to talk a bit about the Shopify app itself. So I know you have that kind of part of your connection to the store and your network. Can you walk us through what happens when someone says, hey, I want to try this Simplicity DX solution out? They get the app and they download it and they install it on their store. What happens next? And then how do people implement it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy. It's the simplest one I've ever worked with in any e-commerce, in that you literally go to the App Store, you search for Simplicity DX, bang, you say, yep, off we go, install. You go through the consent processes, which says, you know, I'm going to share this data with Simplicity, is that okay, et cetera. And then after that, you need to do a couple of different things, right? You need to connect up your Meta account, and that will then pull in all of your Meta creative, which we're then going to potentially use. The product catalog and inventory synchronization is already done from Shopify. And then there's probably a little bit of setup. You put your fonts and colors and those sorts of things in there. And then once that's done, so that takes, you know, a few hours, literally, you may choose to put it on a subdomain. That's probably the stickiest part of the implementation. You don't have to, but a lot of people want to do that. So social.brandname.com.
Right.
And then having done that, you'll be building complete campaign stores literally in a few minutes. And once all of your ads are coming in from Meta, you literally select, okay, this is the ad, this is what I want to do. And then you link it to a product or a category. And then the AI is going to kick in. It builds a whole series of other components for you. And then away you go. And then all you need to do is say then, okay, brilliant, happy with that. I want to make a few changes. You grab the link, it then attributes it using the correct UTM code. So it's going out on Instagram. You can schedule publishing, all those sorts of things. Take the link, pop it in your ad, and away you go. 50% more revenue, reduction in customer acquisition costs. I mean, that's kind of, you know, what we're really focused on.
Mm-hmm. This is lovely. And so once again, I'm going to put a really good walkthrough video too, so people can learn more about specifically, like, it's nice to see like a visual of like, hey, I've installed it, I've gone through the process, and here it is. And I think that's really smart, having it running on a subdomain at social dot. And then, but yeah, more details in the show notes for sure. I want to talk about the future of the product. You're very clearly solving, you know, this whole CAC problem. And, you know, you really are helping brands that, you know, on the edge, as you call it, and bringing them back to the mothership and having them buy. I get all that. I think that's fantastic. Where do we see the product moving forward into continued feature sets or other partnerships? I just like to get warm and fuzzy about where you believe the product is headed.
Well, we are 100% focused on driving more revenue from paid social and dramatically using CAC for brands. I mean, that's basically what we do. You're not going to go and see us do anything else. That is, you know, that's our DNA. That's our purpose on the planet. We think it's very important, and B, we're very unique in doing that. That doesn't, in terms of where we come from, that doesn't fit everybody perfectly. So, you know, we typically are talking to, you know, the larger brands, probably a bit, maybe a little bit more sophisticated. And so I've not just started out in e-commerce. Maybe I'm growing at that point. You're probably advertising on social media, maybe spending $15,000 or more per month.
Okay.
Can be either Shopify, Shopify Plus, that doesn't matter. And then typically, you know, probably, you know, 50 products or more, or maybe more than 5 million in revenue, something like that. It's that's kind of the sweet spot in terms of the brands that can get the most value out of this.
Right. All right. So that's good. That's a good sweet spot. Actually, that's a lot of listeners that are here right now. So that you obviously have a little bit of traction. You're, you know, likely doing, I mean, you're saying maybe up to maybe 5 million in revenues, but I have a funny suspicion that there's people that are in the $2 and $3 million range that are already spending 15,000 or more a month on paid social. And so they can instantly see a reduction in their CAC by getting involved with your platform. I mean, that's the end of the day. That's kind of like the crux of kind of why I'm having you on the show today, because I think I agree with you that the CAC is high, the competition is high, and how do you differentiate? Well, part of it is just being profitable, you know, getting close to this first order break even, as you kind of talked about. It's just like, how do we do that? Well, your platform with AI and how you're able to connect to Meta, it's very interesting to me that that opportunity is there, the savings is there, you just got to go and do it, right?
Yeah, and the reason people haven't done it traditionally, I mean, everybody's got landing page builders or page builders, and they've got Shopify and all the rest of it.
They sure do.
The reason they don't do it is because it just takes too long, right?
Right.
Yeah. If you're running lots of social ads, you know, these things have a very short half-life. It's just not possible to do it. So you need automation to do this for you. That's really what we enable. We make it super fast to do this. You're literally in a couple of minutes, bang, you've got a complete campaign store that is just going to drive so much more revenue and much better conversions.
This is lovely. So we are kind of nearing the end of the show for today, but I there's been quite a few takeaways. I mean, I'm on page two of notes now. So that's why I love this podcast, because I get to learn a lot too, and I get to pay it forward. Number one, by broadcasting it out to a wide audience. Number two, people that I'm working with directly and saying, hey, guess what? I just spoke to Charles over at Simplicity DX and you got to listen to this show, or here's the details of kind of what I've learned. And I have a couple takeaways that I have right away. I agree with you that the shopping, I love your angle about the shopping. Shopping has shifted to the edge. I think it's very interesting to me. That's where the customers are, and we need a better funnel. And I think it's what Simplicity DX is doing, is creating a better funnel to reduce CAC. Is there anything else that I'm missing?
No, I think you've said it very nicely.
I'm hired.
Well, the other thing is we live up to our name, right?
Right.
We really make this simple and easy and fast. That's cool. And we recognize that people don't do it today. Because it's too hard, right?
Right.
So that's where technology and AI and ML can really help and just make life so much easier.
And there's a lot of marketers that listen to, and I know sometimes as a marketer, you get kind of, I say, in your rut a bit, or in your workflow that just kind of is seemingly working well for you. And, you know, you're making these marginal improvements and giving this feedback up to the CEO. But I have a funny suspicion that if people were to say, hey, wait a second, I think I've learned something today, I'm going to try Simplicity DX. Number one, because if you don't try it, the answer is no, it doesn't work. If you don't try it, you need to try it. I know there's going to be some offers coming up in a minute here where I think people should complimentary kick the tires and actually try it and prove to yourself that it actually works, and stop getting into the mindset of like, you know, I know change is hard. I get it. Change is really hard from a marketing perspective, but I also think you need to be progressive. You need to think about the fact you got to work on this, and this is a solution that I know can be and is effective. I mean, ModCloth has proven it. So
cool.
So there we go. So I understand there's a playbook that we want to give away. There's some research and things like that. So what are some of the next steps and where should people go?
Well, there is a playbook. This is a social commerce playbook, which is really how to do this. I mean, we've talked about some of the concepts today, but this will give you a sort of a step-by-step of how you can go and tackle social as a way to acquire, in particular, to acquire new customers and do it cost-effectively and profitably.
Okay. And that's at, we're going to have that link. I think it's simplicitydx.com/social playbook. And that will redirect you to, I think, your academy. I think you have an actual academy link.
Sure.
But I'll make sure I have that in the show notes. You can go directly there. Simplicitydx.com is the website. We mentioned about the Shopify app. You can quickly search for that, Simplicity DX, in the Shopify app store. And I know you've created a great offer for those that have now listened to the end of the episode that say, hey, I want to reduce my CAC and I want to improve my ROAS. So what are the next steps and what are you recommending?
So by all means, go download it, try it, contact us. You know, the videos and case studies and those sorts of things you can see up on the website. We also have an introductory offer. We are still relatively new, but very fast growing. And because Steve is featuring us here, if you contact us and say that Steve sent you, then we will do basically a half price offer, which is $499 per month with the first 30 days for free. Okay, so we will grandfather that in between now and the end of January for anybody who wants to get on with that. And that it also includes exit attribution. So you'll probably see actually significantly more social revenue just by putting the exit attribution in than you've probably seen before.
Yeah, I love the exit attributions. I think, once again, you just never know where these customers are coming from, and you're spending all this money on paid social, regardless of using your platform or not, not asking the customer the question at the end of the sale, how did you hear about us? It's just worth its weight in gold. So you're offering both of those. So $500 a month instead of $1,000, first 30 days are absolutely free. So it's absolutely a no-brainer to actually try it out and see what the platform can do. So just wanted to thank you, Charles, for coming on the show today. I've, like I said, multi-pages of notes. So that means it's a good episode. I've learned a lot, and I just wanted to thank you for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Have yourself a great afternoon. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.